Let's see what the markets are saying before your next investment. This is RSN 927's Futures Watch with Trent Masenhelder.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Futures Watch. Trent Masenhelder with you on this Monday morning, and joining me are my cohorts, starting off with the Shark Tweet. Good morning, Sharky. How are you?
Hello, T-Mace. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. After week in Port Douglas, nice and refreshed. Had a nice little freshen up, ready for a good first up run here, as is Nick Quinn, who's always running well on a Monday morning. Quinny, how are you?
Really well. Massive weekend of racing and cannot wait for next Saturday with a nice little entree on Wednesday.
Boy, wowee, to coin a phrase from Brian Taylor. What a weekend of racing we had both in Melbourne and Sydney. Let's focus on Melbourne, and we'll start with the Caulfield Cup. And Quinny, Yucatown, we've had the news broken on Monday morning from Matty Stewart, RSN's racing editor. He's spoken to Lloyd. Yucatown, the Herbert Powell winner, the dominant Herbert Powell winner, will be running in the Caulfield Cup on Saturday with Mickey Walker to take the ride. And I would imagine he's going to be very popular with your market.
I dare say so. He was 100-1 before he ran in the Herbert Powell Stakes on Saturday. He had his price slashed to $13 immediately after that win. He then firmed from 13 into 7 over the course of Saturday night and Sunday, and he's already had a trim up today from 7 into 6. He's now the equal second elect at that quote. Young Star, the $5 favourite. Kings Will Dream at 6. Then we have Knights Watch at 9. The Cliffs Maher, a $9 chance, also in from 26. Ace High at 13. Homesman's gone the other way, 8 out to 13. Unforgotten at 13. But Shark, Yucatan, absolutely brilliant on Saturday. How do you think he'll go in the Caulfield Cup on Saturday with the 52 kilos, and who will start favourite?
I think Yucatan will start favourite. I think once people do their reviews of the weekend and go and look at the actual dominance of the performance, and then realise that he can't be penalised for the Caulfield Cup on Saturday, that Saturday's Herbert Power win is effectively an exempt race right straight into it. No penalties, nothing. 52 kilos. He's pitched in on the back of that form. If he turns up, albeit he did beat up on some horses that would dream of running top 10 in a Caulfield Cup, let's be honest. With the exception of Big Duke, who's run fourth in a Melbourne Cup, but he's not going all that well at the moment. The rest of them are dreamers, effectively. And if he replicates that same performance, he's surely a top three finisher with that weight, with that handicap.
So what is he, Quinny? Six?
He's $6.
Is that a good price?
I think so at the moment. He's a total left field, last minute, the 11th hour, sticking his head in, much like Johannes Vermeer last year, ran in the Caulfield Stakes, and everyone went, What's this thing? Look at the site. This was a huge run. And then he bobs up a week later and runs well.
And according to the camp, they reckon he's better than Johannes Vermeer.
He's better than Johannes Vermeer. The problem is the Cliffs of Moher is better than Yucatan. And he wasn't half a bad run there on
Saturday.
He was
a very nice run, wasn't he? Yeah, I've spotted that.
So from a position where the, let's call them Team Williams, were hopeful, I guess you'd say, with a couple of their bigger guns missing in action, Johannes Vermeer and the like, they are now right at the forefront again for both cups. And if you're playing, it's not really an early market now. It's more of an early market than a futures market, the Caulfield Cup. But if you're playing Caulfield Melbourne Cup doubles, they have to be right at the top of whatever you do.
They're going to be very, very competitive on Saturday with the four runners as well. Also, the Taj Mahal goes into their calculations. Now, a horse that you've had your finger on the pulse with, Tosin Basil. Three runs in Australia. Poor, brilliant, fair. How do you assess him going to Saturday's Caulfield Cup at the $17 quote?
Yeah, I think there were conversations after the run as to whether we go to Caulfield or go to Moonee Valley. Darren has some thoughts about the horse inside other horses, which I would strongly back up. If you look at his runs in Japan, the best form he shows is when he can get to the outside. He switches off when he's inside horses and he doesn't. He's a six-year-old bull. He's got some quirks. He needs to be outside of horses. I think I wouldn't be too knee-jerk about the run there on the weekend. It's a fitness-building run for a horse that needs ground. He needs 2,400 and 3,200 metres. So he'll take his chance on Saturday, but I would think he'll be absolutely at his peak for Flemington.
So would a wide draw be favourable for a horse like him.
Absolutely.
So what's the plan of attack? Caulfield Cup, then Melbourne Cup, or another run in between at the Valley?
Caulfield Cup, then Melbourne Cup.
Just getting back to Yucatan, when Matt got off the phone to Lloyd this morning confirming that Yucatan was running on Saturday, you should have seen it. Everyone was on their phones, all the staff in here at RSN jumping on board, getting the bet on as quickly as they could, because I'm sure he's going to firm even...
He absolutely will. And what we've seen, teammates, on the weekend is that he can come from a wide gate, sit wide, cover ground, and still be dominant. And okay, well, we keep referring to the fact that it wasn't the strongest race, strongest field that he beat up on Saturday.
Do.
But it's a fact at the end of the day. I'm looking for some reason to get this horse beaten. It's difficult at face value, but he was able to cover that ground. He's obviously very, very fit, and that run should bring him on. Aidan O'Brien does it often in Europe, particularly when he takes a horse from Europe to America. He often gives them a run sort of a week to 10 days beforehand, sticks them on the plane, and then takes them over, and they perform well. So backing them up isn't... I don't think it's going to be an issue for this horse, nor for the Cliffs of Moher.
Is it interesting... We don't often see it with Lloyd Williams' horses backing up inside a week. Mm. And Peter Moody made the point on The Verdict this morning that perhaps a race like the Cox Plate might be a better sort of lead-up slash prep run for a Melbourne Cup for Yucatan. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We have to remember that at the moment, Aidan O'Brien trains his horse,
correct,
not Liam Howley.
So no, that's a really good point.
It's sort of falling under Aidan's banner, although Lloyd would have significant input into what's going on. Aidan's still got the last call, you would think. And I think listening to TJ Comerford last week, that the turnaround, the quick turnaround for both of these horses has been at the front of mind this time around. Interesting to note as well, last season, Lloyd was quite a vocal critic of the European trainers that ran in the Caulfield Cup and then went and ran in the Melbourne Cup, and the horses that were jarring up and whatnot. I'm wondering if not only by bringing out horses at A, like good to firm ground in Europe, which gives you some hope of handling Australian conditions, but giving them that quick backup in the UK this season and then backing them up in their first outing and second outing within the space of a week gives him then that bit more conditioning, bit more seasoning, just lets their bones sort of go whack, and then they don't have time to be sore or anything else. They're at the races again. That extra conditioning run, I think, is going to be a factor.
I heard you say something very fascinating last spring on a good horse when you were talking about the former imports and they come out to Australia and have the run and can be a bit sore the next week. And you said it's not necessarily them breaking down. It's just like if you go for a run on concrete when you've been running on grass and you just feel a bit achy a couple of days later and it takes a bit longer to get over it.
Maybe playing on the MCG and then heading over to the new Optus Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, a good friend of mine's a fitness coach for some pretty significant football teams, and he likens it to the first 10K time trial in the pre-season. You know, you go out and you really test the players and they go and have their first blowout. The best thing for them is to get back and do a little 2K a couple of days later, because if you let your body stagnate, then you're going to feel the aches and pains, you seize up, you start to, you know, your muscle sore, your lactic's building up, and there's no way for that to get out of your body. So having another little bout of exercise shortly after your first big blowout for a while can often be a really significant factor. So I'm wondering if there's a bit of that sort of thought gone in here. Just listening to Lloyd and remembering what he said last year about some of these Europeans that jarred up at Caulfield.
Kingswell Dream. We've got to talk about Kingswell Dream. Yep. Is he a forgotten horse? Is he out of sight, out of mind?
Yes.
Because for mine, he's had the ideal lead up to the Caulfield Cup and no one seems to be talking about him a week out.
Well, he'll be drifting now after Yucatan's performance, and with him being confirmed as a certain starter, I'd imagine he will drift slightly.
You'll get $7 or $8, Kingswell Dream, I think. Because the tidal wave that'll come, that's inevitable for Yucatan, you'll see horses like that start to drift. Because people look at his Turnbull run and say, they ran past him in the Turnbull, young star ran past him in the Turnbull. You've got to remember that Darren Weir has timed this preparation around one race to have him absolutely right for one race. Anybody commentating on the outside saying, well, he was up early, he was huge, up early, just because you're running well in your first and second up runs doesn't mean you're 100% fit. It's a good horse. And he's fresh, he's feeling well. You want them to be... I don't want my Caulfield Cup horses to be running last over 1,400 and battling and saying, well, you're on track. You want to see them hit the line. You've got to have faith in the best trainer in the country, which is Darren Weir, that he has his best Cup's chance, which is Kingswell Dream, absolutely spot on for the day.
Lloyd Williams did tell Matt that his biggest fear was Darren Weir. So is it a case where...
He knows. Lloyd knows.
Is it a case where you could back both Kingsville Dream and Yucatan? Like, narrowed it down to two?
Bundle bet?
Pre-draw and...
Yeah,
and sort
I
of
think
back
the play now would be to take some of the $6 on an each-way basis, Yucatan, and then bank on him firming in the next week. Because, Quinny, you know, every year they come for one. And it's going to be Yucatan this year. Your traders would know this.
Especially if he draws well tomorrow.
Well, I think we see markets are very reactive, and punters like to bet on what's just happened.
Yeah.
So a lot of times a horse will run well, firm, and then they'll continue to be backed in that event. And I dare say, on the quick backup, lightweight will be all the rage. I think Yucatan will start favourite.
All right, boys, we need to move on. Let's talk about the Cox Plate. And it looks like the dream race, the Cox Plate, is not going to eventuate. John Massara, part owner of the Autumn Sun, the dominant Caulfield Guineas winner, was on the verdict on RSN 927 this morning on Racing Pulse. Here's what he had to say about the possibility of the Autumn Sun taking on Winx in the Cox Plate.
He's in the range of some of the better three-year-olds, just going on his performances that have gone to the Cox Plate and acquitted themselves reasonably well. But two things. I think Peter Moody just said that he found him a bit lacking behind, you know, behind the saddle and a bit light-framed. And that's also the feeling of our trainer, Chris Waller. He feels he'll be a lot better colt next year, and that in itself it gives us a lot of confidence. But that's one issue. The other issue, I'm not all that interested or excited about the prospect of trying to knock off probably the most significant horse we've had here for about 6 years. I don't want to be the one that knocks her off if he were good enough.
I don't want to be the one that knocks her off. Shark, your thoughts on that?
I think that's a... It's probably the truth, but that's ordinary.
It's a sport, isn't it?
It is a sport. What?
We want to win.
You're telling me
win,
you've got potentially the only horse in the field, potentially, that could test Winx. He's going to have 6 and a bit kilos off her. He's just been the most dominant Caulfield Guineas winner that we've seen in 15 years. Oh, no, we don't want to be the one to knock her off. Oh, okay, that's good. It's not good. It's not good PR for racing.
Quinny, what's the market telling us?
That Winx will be winning. She's now $1.25 and a clear favourite, as she has been the last couple of weeks, but not that short. The second leg now, Ben Battle, who's been 15 into 11 after a gutsy win on Saturday. One bet of 2,000 at the 11 on Ben Battle. But as good as Ben Battle was, it's nice that this humidor's ticking along. Nothing's going to beat Winx.
Shark, you reckon if the Autumn Sun took his chance, he could really test the mare?
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been sort of mouthing off a little bit over the last couple of months saying she may be vulnerable. My hope was that a horse like the Autumn Sun could emerge.
Fresh horse on
with,
the scene.
Well, a three-year-old, it's the only way you were going to test her with that weight edge. Now that he's not going to be there, I could not say Ben Battle would beat her. Even though he was a really tough winner on the weekend, that was fantastic. He and Blair House cleared out from the rest of the pack. That's a good sign for the Godolphin team that they're going to be competitive, but competitive for a minor play is not competitive for a win. I still think the best chance of a horse actually giving her a race is through Humidor. But, you know, you probably have to be blinkered and everything go right in the run and for her to perhaps have a tricky run.
An off day, which
it
never
sounds
has.
Like you're finally conceding that Winx is a winning chance in the 2018 Cox Plate.
It's not that I haven't been able to concede she's a winning chance, Nicholas. I've been hoping for something to test her because you want to see the champions tested.
Absolutely.
Whether it's Tiger Woods or
Northly and Roger Sunline,
Federer,
how good was that build up?
It doesn't matter who it is. Yeah. When the champions are there at the top of their game, you need something or someone to say, you know what, I'm going to have a crack
at it. And the up-and-coming three-year-old always adds intrigue, whether it's Miss Finland or, you know, one of these good three-year-olds that comes along on the scene.
So you think?
Yeah, exactly. The weight advantage they have, a good quality three-year-old always adds the intrigue. And unfortunately, we're not going to see it this year, it looks like. I don't think he would beat Winx. I'd certainly love him to take his chance. I don't think he could beat her, but I wish he was in the field because I think it would make it a better race.
He'd start second favourite. He'd be about $8. Winx would be $1.60. You could make a genuine case for both of them. He'd be bowling along in front and he'd have to run her down. It'd be great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen, but we may see the Autumn Sun in the Crocs Plate next year with or without Winx. Who knows? Let's talk about the Kennedy Oaks and what a performance from Amphitrite Shark on the weekend, winning the 1,000 guineas. You've been pretty bullish about this girl.
Yeah, she was really good. More so towards that Oaks preparation. I didn't think she would be able to overcome what looked to be a moderate sort of speed map there on Saturday and charge home. She came from last, and a clear last too. It was a fantastic last 600. Her times were great. She goes to the Oaks now as a favourite. Different kettle of fish, though, when you step out to 2,500 metres, and I just keep coming back to my old mate, Yulong Meteor. Big, solid, no-frills filly that will run the trip. And with each week that one of these other horses goes out and runs, just get another point better about Yulong Meteor. At $17, I still think she is as good as anything in the Oaks.
Quinny, what's the Oaks market with tab.com.au, sir?
Amphitrite heads the market at $5. Then we have a Very Elegant, also a $5 chance. Fundamentalist at $9 with Graceful Glamour. But I might go take a slice of the $17 on the back of that little push from the Shark.
What a run by Fundamentalist. Gee, where did that come from? She was enormous.
She had the ability. She's been, you know, up there running well with group company in Queensland over the winter months. So she had the talent. We just haven't really seen it from her, this preparation. But that was a strange 1,000 guineas going into it, because it looked, you know, if it wasn't Smart Melody, there was about one of eight or nine horses that probably could, on their right day, go well in the race. I think the fillies have come back to the pack a bit this year. As the 2-year-old season, everyone was raving about, oh, fillies are dominant. There's not many that have really trained on.
And even Seabrook running a place when she wasn't running well.
That's right. And you get a horse like Amphitrite, who's come from a totally different form line. She wasn't running around in these 2-year-old races. She's bobbed up in a sale maiden 6 weeks ago, and now she's a Group 1 winner. So I think that tells you a bit about the depth of the form.
Now, you've been the number one cheer squad leader for Yulong Meteor. Quinny, you've been the number one cheer squad leader for Anjana. Are you sticking fat?
She's going along okay. I think
she ran well.
Yeah, I think she'll be more than competitive in the Oaks if they do press on. So I won't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater there, that is for sure. So, yeah, a bit of a tick there.
Ahud, probably doubtful to go to the Oaks now. She's going to run in the Empire Rose, formerly the Meyer Classic. So she keeps running well. 5 Group 1s she's run in, Ahud. Top 3 on every occasion. For a horse that's just won the one race, she's incredibly consistent. She's a very, very good filly. Manikato Stakes, boys. Let's have a look at the Valley Sprint feature on Friday week. And Red Zow, what a win in the Everest. Back-to-back for the Triple Crown-owned, Snowden-trained superstar sprinter ridden by Kieran McAvoy once again. He got the conditions to suit. I'd imagine he'd be the favourite for the Manikato, Quinny.
No, there's been good money today for Kemantari, who's been 750 into 550, trialled really nicely this morning, and they subsequently announced would be going that way. Red Zell, they're not sure what they're going to do. We'll either go to the Manikato or the VRC Sprint, with a decision to be made later on in the week. Santa Ana Lane at 750, again, looks unlikely. Osborne Bulls at 9, but Kemantari's been pretty popular, and I think looks a good safe each-way investment if you want to play on the Manikato.
Shark, any thoughts here?
I'm really wary of anything that's come out of that Everest.
On the heavy track.
The heavy track. Yep. Coming back onto what's probably going to be a good 3 track. What does that take out of them? It was you're racing at the top level and you're expending maximum energy at the, you know, throughout your lead up runs. Then you go and do that on a heavy track, and then you've got to come back and do it again around the valley, which poses its own quirks. I would be very, very cautious with early markets.
And that's what I like Kemantari. Out of sight, out of mind, bit of a freshen up, and then they can come back for a target race.
Good point you make. And we know he's got the explosive acceleration at his best to be competitive at group level at 1,200 metres.
Yeah, no, well said. So Kemantari going to the Manikato Stakes. I would imagine Red Zell, like you, Quinny, will go to Flemington, the race he won last year after winning the Everest, and that gives him more time to freshen up and recover from that run on the heavy at Randwick. All right, let's focus on the Melbourne Cup, boys. And what's the latest market, Quinny, here?
It's been a bit of movement there for the Melbourne Cup in the last couple of weeks, and a few of the internationals, just some little question marks over some of them, including Cross Counter out there this morning, who's a $13 chance. Avilius remains the $9 favourite. Magic Circle at 11. Yucatan right in the hunt now at 11. Latrobe at 13 has been a big firmer in the last week with the booking of Brenton Avdullah and arrived safely over the course of the weekend. Ace High at 17. Has the picture got any clearer here, Shark?
Not particularly.
Mm.
It's a tricky race this year. It's been a tricky race the last few years, but addition of horses that we're not going to see and serious class horses as well, it just confuses the issue. I think the Caulfield Cup will shed a lot more light on it. But then this year, probably the Geelong Cup will as well, because there are horses that are going there now, not only to try and get a penalty and win their way in, but to have their little spin around with Hold and the like going there. It's a real puzzle at the moment. I don't think this race is going to become much clearer until Derby Day. And that's the trick.
I reckon I've found one here.
Shark's
going to... Hey. I think Shark's going to shoot me down, so I'm a little bit nervous. But
Go on.
I really like the run of a horse in the race that Yucatan won. So you reckon they're...
Prince of Aran?
Yeah, a Prince of Aran. He's a dead set stayer. He'll eat 2 miles for breakfast. He loves ground. It was too short for him on the weekend, and he was steaming home. I know Yucatan pulled up, and he was climbing over the back of him. But he will relish that run. It'll bring him on. And further out in trip, if he draws a good gate, I reckon at a good price, he's a very good each-way bet. Quinny, what price can you give me?
He's $26, and I certainly agree. I think he was the one probably snuck under the radar a little bit with all the hype about the winner.
Shark?
Go on,
just shoot me down. I know it's coming.
He's a top 10 chance.
Top 10?
But at $26, I would much sooner back a horse like Marmello, which has got confirmed group form and is a track record holder over 3,000 metres in Europe on firm ground, rather than try and plump for an average handicapper that's had one good run in Australia.
He was diplomatic to start then.
Yeah, I knew it was coming. I've worked with him long enough. I know what he thinks. That's okay. What about the Cliffs of Myr? That was a nice run on the weekend.
You're going with Myr.
I'm not sure. How do you pronounce it?
We've had everything.
I've been told it's Moore.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's right either.
Well,
that was Felgate reading it off the back of an SMS, and then a few people at the track said that wasn't the right way either.
The Irish race caller tends to call it Myr.
I was going with Myr, but I'm never right. So
anyway,
whatever we want to call it. He's had three name changes in the last week as well.
COM, let's call him.
Yeah, he was a good run.
He was very good. For me, he's a little slight doubt at 3,200 metres, but I think the Caulfield Cup will tell us more this weekend. I think he'll run an enormous race on Saturday. And if he does, well, he elevates again in Melbourne Cup calculations. It's been an interesting week for the Melbourne Cup in terms of who we've lost, really, with Hamada sadly going by the wayside. I'm glad Godolphin bought numbers because they're going through a few of them now. Mm. It's inevitable. It happens every year. Yeah. Not that horses die, but that there are injuries as they remodel, as they recondition to the firm ground we have here. So it's a real shame because I think Hamada would have been a fantastic inclusion in the race. Little horse called Latrobe just rolled in on the weekend. He goes okay. He's there now.
He looked really good winning that Irish Derby.
God.
Set outside the leader and ran away from some world-class runners. So
was that like a three-horse field or something?
No, that was a good field. Although Aiden got the trifecta and he did pay 20-1 that day, so maybe it wasn't expected.
Yeah, unfortunately, Cross Counter, if you aren't up to speed, had a little setback, cut a leg, and will be confined to box rest for a couple of days, which is not ideal on the way to a Melbourne Cup, I would have thought. But and the talk out of Werribee is that he's very, very good. They're pretty happy with Cross Counter, so that'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Have you got a leaning towards anything in the Cup at the moment, Shark?
Marginally towards a horse like Yucatan, but again, I'm not sure if that's recency, because we haven't seen many.
Is he too brilliant
others
to run 2 miles?
No.
Okay.
He'll run 2 mile. I need to go to Werribee and have a look at these new additions. I need to have a look at the likes of Marmello. I need to have a look at Latrobe. I need to see those horses gallop, because there is that much talent there amongst those horses. Even a horse like Withhold, who personally I don't think is up to the task. He's enormous. He's like Big Orange Mac 2. He's a seriously big horse, and he's fairly one-dimensional. Go to the front, bowl along, try and go faster than everything else. I don't know if that's a recipe to win a Melbourne Cup.
You've got a good handle on the international form. What about a horse like Red Verdon, who there hasn't been much spoken of him?
Look, he's improved his profile this season. He prior to this year, he was sort of flirting with stakes class, but this year he's come on really well. You know, he's kicked off with some good form around Defoe, Magic Circle through Sandown, although, you know, well handled by Magic Circle. But then he really improved through that Hardwick run. He beat Cliffs of Moher home there behind Crystal Ocean, and then backed that up again in the Glorious Stakes at Goodwood behind Mirage Dancer, who Mirage Dancer's form ties in a little bit around sort of Best Solution and things like that. So, yeah, he's in the mix. He's in the mix. I think he's a bit exposed. I think there are horses that are like your cross counters, like your Latrobes, that aren't exposed. Prince of Arran.
Quinny, let's...
It's a whole other conversation.
Last market I want you to give us. We need to get our skates on here, boys. The Victoria Derby, please.
Extra Brute continues to attract support there for the Derby. So hopefully that's the winning move there. Currently a $7 equal second elect. There has been a little bit of money around for Thinking Big. Got as short as $5.50 out to $9 on the fourth line of betting at that quote. But Extra Brute just keeps on impressing. Going that way, I presume, Shark?
Yes, he'll run at Caulfield on Saturday in the Caulfield Stakes. Sorry, Caulfield Classic.
Yes.
The other 2,000-metre race. And then he will go to the Derby if he comes through at one.
Yep.
Quinny, money for Vassalator after his good run in the Guineas, which Matty Stewart found?
Yeah, Vassalator is $17 chance now for the Guineas. What was he pre-post? It was 26, so 26 into 17.
All right, boys, we're out of time. We'll leave our loyal listeners with one to follow from a futures point of view. Shark, what do you got for us?
I think in that Derby market, as much as it pains me to say, Thinking Big is the forgotten horse. He was in tight after his win in the I can't remember the name of the race. Yes. Gloaming, I think it was.
Or the Dulcify.
Dulcify.
1800 first up, and then he was pretty good last
track.
Week.
Yeah. You know, I don't think he's a wet track horse. I think he's a much more fluid horse on top of the ground. I think $9 is a bit of fat there.
Played up before the gates, pressurised throughout, had to make an early move. Total forgive run, market overreacted.
Mm. Quinny, you got one for us?
I'm going to go and back Kemantari to win the Manicato. Obviously I think we'll start shorter than the current quote, and the field will drop away a fair bit.
And much to Shark's chagrin, I'm going to back a Prince of Arran each way in the Melbourne Cup, and then I'll bring this audio out to replay it after he finishes in the top three. Gents, thanks as always. We are out of time this morning. We'll be back to do it all again next week.
Thanks, Trent.
You can hear the Futures Watch again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.